It is time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, a membership organization that serves and advances the business interests of our community and builds a sustainable community where business thrives. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Get more on the town of Chapel Hill at townofchapelhill.org. And we've got the mayor of Chapel Hill here in the studio right now, Pam Heminger. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Hello to you.
It's been a busy week.
Oh my goodness, we were so hopeful for a slower start in 2019.
Absolutely not.
That did not happen.
So it's all good. Obviously, the big news is that everyone's talking about this week is Chancellor Folt's decision to step down, the removal of what was left of Silent Sam. Your thoughts? What does it mean for Chapel Hill?
Well, I'm very sad to see Carol go. She's put a lot of good things into play at UNC. I know how much she cares about students and education and trying to move forward. The scholarship programs, the open access to everyone, the new partnerships for entrepreneurship. There's a lot of good things that have been happening. I also know she cared very deeply about getting rid of the statue and the pedestal. So kudos to her for standing up and doing the right thing, even though she was pretty sure of what that outcome would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate that our Board of Governors feels very differently from how the community feels today. We're grateful that she was willing to take this bold step.
Yeah. So what does it mean for the town of Chapel Hill to have that space at McCorkle Place not have a monument for the first time in 105
it's
years?
It's really helpful because there's no longer this monument that represents white supremacy right at our doorstep, but it also, there's no longer a gathering point for people to rally. And our biggest concern has been that someone was going to get hurt between the protesting and the counter-protesting. As I said before, we're exhausting our resources trying to keep people safe. So we're hopeful that there won't be any more gatherings that would cause strife between individuals. We're very glad it's gone for the other reasons, but this one for us is very, very helpful.
The conversation about the future of that site and the monument is still going to go on. There's still that March 15th deadline of the Board of Governors. That hasn't changed. And I know in the fall, there was that conversation that led to the proposal for the $5 million building that got rejected. And one of the concerns about that conversation was that other stakeholders, including Town of Chapel Hill officials, were not really involved in it. How involved have you or town officials been in the conversation that's going on now?
The town's not privy to whatever the Board of Governors is doing. We do have good communications with our Board of Trustees. They know our wishes. I mean, they know it and our preferences, and they know that. We will wait to see what happens in March. I will say, not only did the pedestal come out, but the whole foundation part came out. So it would be very hard to put it back, very time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Board of Governors is pretty aware that it would cost a lot of resources to maintain security and things like that. That's what that proposal was showing them, that how much they would have to actually invest in order to keep people safe. And that's a lot of money that could be used towards education. And I think there's other opportunities for the statue and pedestal to go into a museum or contextualize somewhere else.
And
so we'll see.
Shift to last night's town council meeting. And one of the things I know that was at least discussed for a little while was the other Confederate monument that is in that general vicinity, smaller one commemorating Jefferson.
So we call it a marker, not a monument,
yes.
Because markers, the Jefferson Davis highway markers were put out way before our DOT was even formed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole interesting part on the DOT website. We've been doing research on this for quite a while. It's placed in the DOT right-of-way. But DOT doesn't own the land underneath it. And it's unclear whether the town or the university or actually DOT owns the land underneath it. So we have reached out to send the Attorney General that question to ask who has the authority to remove the marker.
Can you just do the Eddie Izzard thing and just plant a flag there and claim it for Chapel Hill?
I wish we could do that. That would make it a lot easier. We've been researching. These have been placed all over. They actually belong to the United Daughters of the Confederacy, mm-hmm. these markers, but we need to be sure and clear who has the authority to ask them to take it back.
So it's up to the state attorney general now?
Is
that
asking,
where the question has gone to?
We're just asking the question at this point in time.
Okay.
When we find out the answer of who actually owns the land that it's sitting on, then that person or entity has the authority to ask for its removal. So you could guess all over the place, but it's been there so long that it's
mm-hmm.
very unclear. Right away, when you own the right away of something, it doesn't necessarily mean you own the land that it's on. So DOT owns the right-of-way, and that's why I think it's been very confusing. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out what he has to say.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, starting to talk about last night's town council meeting, which covered a bunch of different topics.
Yeah, we start off the year.
Bus rapid transit was kind of dominated a lot of the conversation.
Right. Yeah. Trying to make sure that we're looking to the best outcomes for our community, not just moving people through town, not just connecting people to from where they live to where they work, but actually having meaningful stops, having a meaningful and interaction between pedestrians, bicyclists, and cars and buses. What that feels like. So we want to have an urban designer involved. We want to have some more public input. We don't want that freeway feel coming into town. That's not what we're going for. We are clogging up there. We want more people to use transit. Bus rapid transit's been shown that more people are willing to use that if they see the benefit of the dedicated lane and getting through to their destination faster. But at the stops, you want to be able to have that experience of coffee shops or living spaces. You don't want to have to walk half a mile from that stop. So and that's one of the corridors we're studying with the FLU map. How do we make that feel more urban along that corridor? So,
and just to go back, we're talking about the north-south corridor. So from MLK and Eubanks down to
Southern Village,
yes. Right? And bus rapid transit is a bus on a dedicated lane.
Right.
So the bus isn't in traffic. It's not dealing with other vehicles.
It does have to mix in traffic.
There's no way to
really dedicate a lane through the middle of town or at the university. But that's a small component of the 8 point something miles.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an opportunity to look to have the dedicated lane at the top most part of MLK all the way down to a certain point. That point, it varies. We decided to get rid of the center lane proposal because it was too confusing to have buses move in and out. What also helps with the BRT is when the 420 comes down, it can come down more. It can also use, and other triangle routes could use this as well in that lane.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what's the next step on that?
So it's supposed to get to 30% of design. They have to send back a letter to the FTA saying that we've eliminated the center lane configuration, that we've eliminated taking it all the way up to Durham Tech because it didn't seem very cost effective. The 420 it's already doing a really good job. We could enhance that service instead. To send them that list so they can come back and say, yes, you can proceed on. We would continue on the engineering phase. That's what it's in right now. But we wanted more input. We don't want it just to be an engineered. We want it to be an urban design.
Right.
So that will be going on for the next 9 months, is my understanding.
All right. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, other things from last night's meeting?
Well, we did have an interesting discussion again about our future land use map, which is going to come back to us at a work session coming up. We also, between that time and the work session, have a council retreat at the end of the month where we're continuing to talk about what is the future of our community. What do we want to, what are our aspirations? Not just what's happening, but what do we want to see? Entranceways to our community are important. People worked with heights and densities and corridors, but there's more to it. We have environmental concerns, so it was asked that we bring the environmental overlay to make sure we don't build in our floodplains like they happened way before people understood what that was. So we had a good discussion about that and coming back with some guiding principles of things that we do want to have, tree canopy, those kinds of things. So that went on. Then we had a fascinating discussion about scooters. Everyone's wrestling with this, not just across our state, but nation, and we're trying to find best practices. In North Carolina, our state legislature hasn't defined scooters. So all the municipalities are having a hard time trying to figure out how to regulate it because there's no definition. It's not truly a moped. A moped requires you also to wear a motorcycle helmet, not just a bike helmet, and are required to be on the streets, not necessarily in the bikeways or greenways. They're not, but scooters aren't really mopeds, right? But they're not really bicycles. And so it's very interesting. We are collaborating with UNC and Carrboro. We want to make sure that we are all talking to each other as we move forward. It would be very confusing for a user of a scooter to come off campus and into one of the towns and there'd be completely different rules. That would be really confusing. Meanwhile, we want to make sure that we try to keep people safe. We talked about the speeds of the scooters. In some communities, they're as high as 25 miles an hour. That, with a hilly environment, that's really not a good recipe for safety.
Right.
So some communities have actually ratcheted it down to 10 miles an hour. Some have geofencing to where you leave the scooters in a nest or an area, and others have geofencing that keeps scooters prohibited from a certain area. It's fascinating, all these different things that are out there. Some are charging fees. or fines if scooters are left in places they shouldn't be. Some don't do that. Some have registration fees. The fees are intended to help cover the law enforcement cost of regulating all this. So we're looking at all of that. We haven't made a decision at this point in time.
It's got to be difficult to do transportation planning, knowing that you're planning for the long term, and also knowing that 15 years from now, there's going to be some transportation technology that comes along that we can't even anticipate.
I don't even think 15 years. It could be three.
Yeah, right.
Disruptors, as scooters are in that category, are interesting because they come fast. Mm-hmm. And governments move slowly. And we're, you know, truly the governments, this is progress. You're not going to stop it. So how do you regulate it to help people keep safe and to understand the rules?
And it's cool. It's a great way to,
it
to
is.
Get
it's
around.
The last mile. It's very environmental.
Gas efficient. Yeah.
And if we do have a hilly environment, are they the same people who would normally ride a bike but don't because we're hilly? I mean, who knows? So, yeah.
Guilty. Yeah.
And e-bikes are different. They're seen differently. But one of the comments last night was to make sure that our bikeways are in good, safe working order and safe for people to use, and then maybe scooters could be there. Most communities don't want scooters on the sidewalks. Mm-hmm. It's not a good interaction between walkers, people with special needs, and just in general, it's just not a good combination. So.
Other things going on around town that people want to know about?
Yeah, well, today I'm headed over to the North Carolina Winter Mayor's Meeting. It's here in Chapel Hill at the Carolina Inn. We're talking about economic development and updates on the current legislation, what we think legislators are going to be doing. Yesterday, I cut the ribbon for the Parkview ribbon, new skilled nursing facility that's over on Legion Road.
Nice.
Used to be known as Brit Haven, then it sat empty for a little bit, but now it's been revamped. It's lovely inside, and it has a capacity for over 100 individuals there. State of the art everything, and it looked really good. It's a rehab facility as well. We had the NCDOT meeting earlier this week. They came out with much better options for the widening of I-40 at the 86 interchange there. The neighborhood, there's two options still on the table. One still goes to the neighborhood, and I can tell you most council members are not excited about that. And the other one actually changes it to a super street configuration out on MLK with some other caveats that make it a little easier to transverse. So we're going to be looking at the public meeting for that is January 24th. And again, check our website. We've got all that out there. We met with our state legislators. I know I didn't get to be here last week. I'm so sorry. We met earlier with our state reps. I told you we had some changes, and we got to interact with Senator Floyd McKissick. Our Representative Verla Insko was able to come. Our new Representative Marianne Black was there, who we hadn't had much dialogue with before because she hadn't been in our district.
Right.
And Representative Greg Meyer is a little sliver left us. We were sad that we couldn't, we had to pick a date that Senator Fushi couldn't fit, but we keep her up to speed on things. That we have wonderful representatives, mm-hmm. and they were very interested in hearing from us and what kinds of things, knowing still, though, that they are in the minority of voices at our General Assembly, but also that it's veto. It's no longer veto-proof.
Right,
so it's good.
Right.
So more, we were hopeful there'd be more negotiations. So anyway, it was a really good conversations expressing some things that we'd like them to keep an eye on and talking about some environmental things.
Awesome. So. Townofchapelhill.org for more information on town government. Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.